We turn this morning in 1 Samuel, and I'm going to be reading selections from chapter 17, because otherwise it's a really long story. I just want to give you some of the highlights here. This is 1 Samuel 17, the story of David and Goliath. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socoh and Azekah in the Ephes Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield-bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Then looking to verse 32, and David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. Battle lines were drawn. The Philistines mounted on one side of the valley, the Israelites on another. And then came forth the champion of Gath. In the Hebrew, this word champion simply means a man who stands in between. We might use the word mediator or intermediator. He was a man who was representing all of the armies of the Philistines and ready to come and fight on their behalf. But Goliath was different from all the other champions, mediators. He was over 9 feet tall. His armor weighed over 125 pounds. The point of his spear itself was 15 pounds. It's no wonder that in the Hebrew, Goliath means conspicuous. There was no hiding this man. And every day he would come out from the armies, from his camp, and stand at the line in the middle of the valley, and he would yell out to the Israelites, "Why do you line up against me? I'm one man. Are you not the enemy or the army of Saul, and therefore the army of God? Give me a man and fight me." But how did Israel respond? We're told repeatedly that whenever the champion of Gath came out into the valley and would torment and defy them, the Israelites were filled with terror and dismay. The very sight of Goliath, the armies of Israel trembled in fear. The Hebrew word here reveals that the spirit of mighty Israel's army was beaten down in defeat already. They were paralyzed with fear and would not move. Saul himself should have been their champion, for we read at the beginning of Saul's career as king, when he was appointed and anointed to be their leader, Saul himself stood head and shoulders above the rest of the people. He was a tall man. He looked the part of the king. He should have been able to gear up and go out and battle and face this giant. Yet what did he do? He cowered in fear at the sight of this giant. And then a young man named David comes along. Beautiful, ruddy, good-looking. He was sent by his father to look after his brothers, to bring them their lunch, to see how they were doing, and to bring home a report. So he left his sheep. He went to the battlefront to bring their food, to bring back the news. And when he got there, David hears Goliath taunting the people, and he sees Israel cower in fear. And what happens next reveals his heart. We said before, David has a heart that was wholly directed to God alone. We see that in the way he responds. He hears Goliath defying God and his people, and he will not stand for it. He wants God's name to be hallowed. He would not stand by while God was dishonored, while his people were ridiculed. He wanted to defend the name of God. Now, friends, please keep this in mind. This is not what we've heard about in the last few weeks, where the Islamist terrorist have responded to protect the name of their prophet. Christ never calls us to defend his honor. Christ never calls us to fight for his cause with force. But we are to pray that God's name be hallowed in our lives and in the world around us. Is God seen as holy in the way that I live? Is God seen as mighty in the way that I trust in him? Is my family, my work, my lifestyle such that God is hallowed through me? And is my service in the world around me bringing glory to God's name, honoring him? David heard the taunts of the giant, saw the people cowering in fear, and knew that the name of God was being belittled. So he had to stand. David also knew, and this revealed his heart for God, that God was enough, and that was all he needed. He volunteered. He said, "I will go out into the field. I will face this giant on your behalf." And Saul said, "Well, you're too small. You're too young. You have no experience." And he says, "God has provided, and I will trust in him." He trusts God to be his provision, because he can trust in what God has already done. He recalled several times, "When I faced the lion, when I faced the bear, those who had stolen the sheep of my flock, God provided. God delivered me out of the paw of the lion. God delivered me from the paw of the bear. God will deliver me from this Philistine." He trusted in God. See, we're not meant to read the story of David and Goliath and stop and say, "Well, how great was David?" We're meant to read the story and say, "How great was the God that David served? How great was his deliverance that God brought about?" David had faith in the character and power of the God that he served because of what God had proven in the past. And because he had faith, he could go forward. This was what revealed his heart. God has done it in the past. I will stand for God because he will provide for me in the future. Friends, the problem in this story, the problem for Israel, the problem that David faced that morning was not the giant. Israel's problem there in the battle was their lack of faith, their lack of trust in God to provide. The crisis of faith that the Israelites faced was that when they saw Goliath, Goliath was bigger to them in that moment than God, and so their faith was in the wrong place. The faith, they faced their crisis with a lack of faith. Had they trusted in the Lord, they would have still faced the giant, but they would have been able to say, in the name of my Lord, the giant is nothing. So that we can say, in the face of my Lord, I can attack these issues in my life. The sickness, the setbacks, the loss, the hardships. I know that God has promised so much. I know that God is with me in the midst of my trials. I know that He will help me to overcome the obstacles. They're still going to be there. The obstacles are not because of our faith, but the obstacles help us to prove our faith. The real issue when we face the giants, when we face the obstacles that we encounter in our life, the real issue is, do we believe God's word? Do we trust what He says? Do we believe that He's strong enough to deliver us even now? Friends, we face giants all the time. Uncertainty about the future. A change in work or family, sickness, and even cancer. Goliath comes to us today in many forms and shape, albeit all very large. Your giant may be an overwhelming set of circumstances, a terminal condition. Someone that you've got to work with in the workplace who makes every day a struggle. For some, it's the Goliath of habitual sin that meets you in the valley every morning to test you and to try you and to intimidate you and rob you of your joy and hope. Perhaps your giant is an addiction, worry, or fear. Perhaps your giant is an overwhelming need to be in control of everything that's kept you from trusting in and relying upon and truly knowing God. The giant you face today comes between you and the Lord, paralyzing you with fear, causing you to forget whose you are and all that God can do and has done and is doing and will do for you. When we face the giant, then, let us face him in faith, not in fear. But let us remember that we too have a champion. The Israelites were overwhelmed by the obstacle that stood before them. And yet David stood up, went forward, and slayed the giant. And in doing so, all of the Philistines ran in terror, and the army of Israel drove them out. All because of one champion's action. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a champion too. A champion like David, who has overcome all things so that we can rise in victory. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I have overcome the world. What is it then that we have to fear? What is it that is stronger than him? What is it that takes our eyes off of his victory? There should be nothing that should paralyze us or cause us to worry and fear, because we know that we have the great champion, Christ, who has ascended in victory over the world, who has all things placed under his feet, so that we never have to fear, worry, or wonder if he is good enough or strong enough to provide. He is our all in all. He is our champion. And so we can say, as Paul does at the end of chapter 8 of the book of Romans, what do we say to these giants? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. As you face the giants this week, trust in the Lord, for he is on your side to guard you, to guide you, to defend you, and to bring you to victory in Jesus Christ. Amen.